Chapter 8. The Twofold State of Man. Of all the creatures of nature, only man is twofold, says Pymander. There exists in the human system the seed of immortality, the spiritual spark, also indicated as the rose of the heart, and there is the mortal human being, the natural figure. One cannot find another creature of a similar twofold nature. In this way, the fall of the original sons of God has created the strange situation that the seed of the Spirit is differentiated in myriads of mortal entities, which may cause them, as children of God, to grow into a multitude no one can count. It will happen that everything which was sin and guilt in the beginning, with all its consequences, will finally change into a glory that is more intense, more grandiose than ever could have been the case, a change to a blessing that no one could possibly envisage. But if this blessing is indeed to take shape, then a strong intervention is essential. A great deal must then happen. However, we also find as a tremendous potentiality that out of a fall, out of sin and guilt, such a blessing can come about as a proof that the spirit that love is always victorious. Whoever reaches insight concerning the nature of his nature-born being is enabled to free himself of his twofold state and to return to his original divinity. Do see this, at least if you are aware of possessing a spirit-spark atom, and if you are conscious of your twofold state, your nature-born being, and the rose within you, the original true man. Do see your possibility of deliverance, if you are conscious of possessing a spirit-spark atom. Then you are not, as a natural being, personally guilty with respect to being in sin, as our orthodox reformed ancestors suggested, for as a nature-born entity, you are entirely one with dialectics. The course of things in the seventh cosmic domain is unavoidable for every entity connected with this nature. No, as a possessor of the rose, you can only become conscious of the existential imperfection, of an existential absurdity, of captivity. That now is the consciousness of sin. As it has been understood in the universal doctrine since the beginning, that the true spiritual man becomes aware of his prison, of his present state of being. Consciousness of sin, according to verse 39, means being conscious of one's absolute immortality, to possess power over all things and yet to suffer the fate of mortals because one is subjected to fate, to be more eminent than all of dialectics and yet to be its servant, to know the Father is within me, he who is without sleep governs me, and yet I am imprisoned in the power of the unconscious. This is the consciousness of sin, and it appears from Hermes' words that the pupil understands it. The hermetic man understands this situation, but for most people, the integration of nature with humanity is a very great wonder. Its dramatic aspects are the apparent fall which manifests itself in it and the guilt that arises out of it. Notwithstanding, the spirit desires to conquer and must conquer. It comes to a millionfold splitting through this dramatic event, and consequently gives all those millions of people the power to again become God's children. That is why an astonishing wonder was generated by the mixture of nature and mankind, verse 41 states. Pymander describes this wonder. The earth was the matrix, water the procreative element, fire brought the process of Genesis to maturity. Nature received from the ether the breath of life and created the bodies according to the form of man, this being the simulacrum. When Pymander speaks of man, he refers to the original divine man, the spirit man. For the rest, he speaks only of the body, the natural figure. The body received a sham human image. Then is described how the natural figure was created out of the astral and etheric radiations of the nature of death. This natural figure is simply called the body, and it is this that dialectics calls man. What a mistake! which is to be, explained by the fact that the natural figure, by virtue of its disposition, possesses its own life, its own consciousness, is, in short, a living being. There are two lives within you, the original life and that of the natural figure. Pymander expresses this by saying, the true man originates from life and light. From the one divine life, the true man has become a soul being, and from the universal light, a spirit soul, that is, an inner being of the exceptional soul state that is linked to the spirit. The true man possesses a pure heart. He is the heart. He lives in the heart of the natural figure as a god. The true man is also, as we further discover, a hermaphrodite, although masculine or feminine outwardly. The natural figures, on the contrary, were sexually separated. You should bear this in mind if you wish to understand these things. The natural figure is either masculine or feminine. The soul being is both masculine and feminine, though sometimes masculine and sometimes feminine outwardly. So one can distinguish masculine and feminine soul entities, although sexually they are not separated. However, the natural figure is always to be seen in the sexual appearance we know, in order that through endless experiences and endless births, the plan of salvation can be executed. Through the continuous grinding in the nature of death, through the continual vivification of the microcosm, a possibility to participate again in the original life exists ever again. You undoubtedly know from newspapers, periodicals, and other literature that man diligently seeks to prolong life. It is expected within a comparatively short time, within the next 100 years, to prolong the life of man to about 800 years. How can this be realized? As you know, the atom contains tremendous powers. The life element, the elixir of life of the human figure, is situated in the atom, and the fact that we grow only as old as we do is because man does not sufficiently know to make use of the life element of the atom. It is man's intention to free the life elixir, which has been sought after and has already been discovered. It is his intention to produce it, to administer it by means of injections, and in this way to prolong life. But if you consider what a terrible mess man already makes in a life averaging from 70 to 80 years, then you will understand, should we live for 200, 300 or 800 years, that during that time, the entire social order would go completely to rack and ruin. It is beyond doubt that the realization of prolonged life will at the same time herald the termination of life of mankind. Therefore, significant is the law that applies to every true Rosicrucian. Think, for instance, of Backstrom's diploma, that he shall not desire to live longer than God allows him. Dialectical man, impelled by his nature-born state always, runs the risk of sinking below the level of the dialectical order. The purpose of the separation of the sexes is to ensure that new beings are continually born. Life itself ensures that they are crushed again in time. In this way, the plan of salvation can be executed by the hard school of profound experience. In this way, the path of self-knowledge can be walked. The separation of the sexes is necessary because, as a consequence, the wheel of birth and death incessantly revolves and, so Pymander states, the course through life is the indispensable school of experience. Whoever is spurred on in this school of life and possesses a heart sanctuary that is able to vibrate in accordance with the rose, being open to the Gnostic light, will one day know himself with respect to his true nature and will deeply feel its twofold state. Such a man will then know that the love for the natural figure, the desires of the carnal prison, are the cause of death with all its consequences. So we saw how integration was introduced and how the propagation of the species began through the separation of the sexes, exactly as in the animal and vegetable kingdoms. Whoever comes to self-knowledge in this way is led upon the path of soul mankind. The one who continues to embrace the natural figure continues to wander about in darkness and will experience death in the natural way. Perhaps we should draw your attention to the abnormalities occurring at all times which result from the separation of the sexes, where sometimes a natural figure comes into being which is neither man nor woman. Such a type of person develops because of the rejection of God's plan, which drives man through matter in guilt and penance, and because of the rejection of the separation of the sexes and its consequences. One refuses to accept God's plan, which wants him to ascend again into the original soul being, but one also shrinks from. Inexorable consequence of this refusal: to be compelled to live a dialectical state of life. In this way, the abnormal type of man develops, we know, as the homosexual man, who is the result of the isolated life of the natural figure, and who does not walk the path of liberation, the path of true self-knowledge. Those afflicted with this disease can be healed, firstly, by not living their life according to this aberration, and secondly, by directing themselves on the path in full surrender and walking it diligently. As a nature-born man, you can only renounce the natural figure for the sake of your conscious yearning and actual striving to be absorbed in the soul being. But when you do not seek or will not take the path upwards, causing the hormonal passions to remain unchanged and the natural figure to loiter in this hormonal fire, it is inevitable that a development will occur that is contrary to nature. Many who, in the course of centuries, have resigned from life and entered cloisters, have denatured themselves. There is still another aspect which we must refer, relating to verse 48 of the book Pymanda. It has often been misunderstood, and some have imagined a sort of warning in this extract from the Hermetic philosophy. It is said, "Whoever has loved the body that has issued from the error of desire continues to wander in darkness." On more than one occasion, these words from Hermes have been understood as a warning against marriage and all that is connected with it. But that is out of the question. On the contrary, it is clear from the Archgnosis that the separation of the sexes with its consequences is necessary to keep the wheel of life and death in motion. Love of the body that has issued from the error of desire refers to love for the dialectical nature which resulted in the existence of the mortal, natural figure, of which verses 37, 38, and 39 speak, whether you face. This either married or unmarried, with a loathing for nature or not, in solitude or in duality, does not make any difference. Whoever wishes to overcome the natural figure will, in accordance with the divine plan of redemption, have to leave the dialectical world and everything connected with it in order to take the way of the soul, the upward path of return. Consequently, if future mankind were prevented from following its natural course and the efforts to prolong life were to succeed, this would mean the irrevocable end. Before long, the entire emergency order, including mankind, would sink below the level of natural laws. To love and to be entirely wrapped up in one's natural figure, considering it as the man, that is the mistake Hermes incriminates in verse 48. If you understand all this and ask yourself how to achieve the purification of life that is a condition for deliverance, then you must know that the purity man has to strive after always is the purity of the heart, the sevenfold purification of the heart sanctuary, which is the mirror for the universal light. The heart sanctuary is God. Pymanda speaks to the candidate in the heart, and that is why every serious pupil of the Gnosis will have to undertake a true sevenfold purification of the heart. Whenever a man becomes pure with regard to the heart sanctuary, whenever the candidate sincerely and perseveringly strives after such a purification, and the light can make its abode in him, then the inner life, together with the mental life, will completely change, and life's activities will follow entirely in accordance with this sevenfold purification. then man is pure in everything he does. Only then will the hormonal functions change, and will the candidate enter into the domain of the good, as Pymander calls it, that is, the state of true growth of the soul.